Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles, go to the book of Ephesians with me again tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, and I'll give you a little thought out of here. Ephesians chapter number 4. And as you're turning, I'll say this, and just to keep you all in the loop, Miss Courtney has begun helping us some now in the church office. She's been a blessing. Amen. I thank the Lord for it. And so if you hear me refer, just like I did a while ago, if you'll let Miss Leslie or Miss Courtney know, that's the reason. Oh, several years ago when we voted on that secretary position, it was the position, not the person. And so she's helping us some, been helping us about a day a week over the past couple weeks, and been a tremendous blessing. Amen. I thank the Lord for it, and helping us get all this Everdoor Direct, all of that set up. And Brother Jonathan's actually going to come back on Friday and help us a little while. And we're working on a new visitor's card, getting all of it together. And there'll be a QR code on it with a video about our church, the different ministries of our church. So he's going to come and help us put all of that together. And technology is great if you'll use it for the right thing. Amen. A lot of times it's used as a toy and not a tool. And if you use it for the right things, it's a blessing. Amen. And you know, it's crazy what all technology will do today. Friday morning I looked, and Thursday night, the service Thursday night, there'd been over 3,000 people hit the video for the service Thursday night. And man, what a blessing that it can be if it's used in the right way. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight. I want to continue our study on the subject of bitterness tonight. And last Sunday night I started this, and if the Lord will let me, I've got several messages that over the next several weeks we're going to look at on Sunday night. And I've been preaching a lot. I preached a little bit different last Sunday night than I normally do. And I will again tonight, not quite as wide open as I normally preach. And I wouldn't necessarily say a teaching style, but at the same time, we're supposed to be apt to teach as the preacher and as the pastor. And I want to help us through it. I want to help me. Are you with me? I want to help me through it. Because Brother Noah Fry, I asked him one time, I said, how did you pastor the same church for over 25 years? And he said this, he said, I quit preaching to the people and started preaching to me. And boy, I thought that's a good statement. And a lot of times if we're not careful, we'll study for everybody else as a pastor. We'll forget about ourselves. And I prayed and asked God to help me with some things through this. I think bitterness is something that every one of us battle at some point and stage in our life. I think a lot of times young people battle it, and we diagnose it. We give it a clinical diagnosis as depression or anxiety. And a lot of times I think the root of every bit of it is simply bitterness, things that they've had to deal with, things that they don't understand. And I said this the other night, life just doesn't make sense sometimes. Can I get an amen right there? There's times that life just don't make... Matter of fact, there's a lot of times that life just don't make sense. But God's still good, as we talked about this morning. Amen. And I want to look at this thought. Let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read 3 verses to you. Then I'll give you a little thought tonight, and we'll go home and eat something. I'm not sure. Eat French fries for lunch, but I might need to eat them again for supper. And I'm telling you, man, I can live off taters. And it's been this way my whole life. When I was a little boy, there's a place called Cane's and Walker's, K&W. And that's where... I remember I was a little boy, that's where my grandparents would take me, where Nana Caudle would take me. We go to the mall, the Haynes Mall, and it was actually nice back then in the 1900s. Y'all with me? It was nice in the 1900s. And we'd go to the Cookie House. get a chocolate chip cookie. And if I go to the mall today, it's very rare, but if I go to the mall today, whether I eat it or whether I don't, I'm going to the cookie house. I'm getting a hot chocolate chip cookie just because my Nana took me there every time I went. And then we'd go to K&W, and I'd get chicken tenders and mashed potatoes and French fries. Somebody say amen. And I still, a lot of times, will get mashed potatoes. I don't know what this has got to do with bitterness, but I get mashed potatoes and French fries and fried taters, too, if they've got them, amen. And hash rounds, if they got them, amen. And I love taters. Thank God for taters. Somebody say amen for taters tonight. And if you don't like taters, you like potatoes, you stick around here long, you'll be liking taters. Amen. I tell you something else that's good. Speaking of taters and maters. And I tell you something that's even better than maters is if you'll go to the Oak Grove Market, and you got to get there early so the biscuits are fresh. And Greg, if you're watching, that's just the truth. You got to get there early so the biscuits is fresh. Ain't that right, Brother Kevin? And get you a tenderloin and tomato biscuit. If you put mayonnaise or mustard on it, God help you, you're probably not saved. But a tenderloin and tomato. I remember I was a little boy and Daddy was preaching. I'm preaching just, I don't know why I'm telling these stories. But I remember I was a little boy and Daddy was preaching. He preached all over the country and we was preaching. He was preaching somewhere out in the middle of nowhere and we went to the preacher's house that night after church. Years ago, people had the preacher in their home to eat. That was a very common thing. And they had homemade cat head biscuits and tomatoes sitting there. And I thought, well, what are we going to eat with that? And they opened those biscuits up and put them maters in it. I was about to starve to death. And that's the first time I ever had a mater biscuit. But I'm going to tell you, son, it was good. It was good. Ephesians 4. Preachers used to go to homes to eat. And I'm not going to take this off the time of my message, but I'm going to tell you this one. There was a preacher years ago, his name was Billy Kelly. If you've never heard of Brother Billy Kelly, you need to go home and look up Brother Billy Kelly. Brother Billy Kelly would make this pulpit look very small tonight. I mean that from the depths of my heart. He was as wide as he was tall. And he would set his plate up on his belly. That's the way he would eat. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Brother Kelly preached for Daddy every year. He kicked off camp meeting. He'd come home and eat with us. And, when you was a boy, he's one of them big-name evangelists, Brother Ramsey, and it was a big deal to have Brother Kelly. Brother Seitler's been in our home, and on I could go, the preachers that sat in our home. Brother Kelly would come home and eat with us, and he'd get done eating, and he'd tell Daddy, he'd say, Alan, I'm going to bed. I'm tired. He'd walk to Mom and Daddy's bedroom. This is the truth. Get Mom and Daddy's bed and sleep all evening and get up about 10 minutes till 6 and run over to the church. And Brother Timmy would preach the house down every time. And Daddy, the other night, he said, I don't understand how that man could sleep all day and get up and preach like that. But he would. And I thought about trying that. If I go to somebody's house and eat lunch one day and say, hey, I'm just going to go in there and take a nap. I'll be back in a little while. I probably couldn't get away with it like Brother Kelly. Thank God for my heritage tonight. Boy, I'm glad I got those memories of those old men of God. Man, Brother Rayton Puckett. Amen, Brother Noah Fry down through the years. Those old men. Look in verse number 30. I'm not going to say I'll not be long. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Boy, that's an important verse tonight. That we don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God, man, there's problems there. And I find it so interesting that verse 31 picks up with, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Lord, I love you tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us over the next few minutes as we look at this thought on bitterness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to talk to you just a little while on turning bitterness into blessings tonight. Turning bitterness into blessings. I read this story. It said a woman came home one day and found her four children huddled in the den around something very interesting. She tiptoed over to see what it was and saw that they had brought four baby skunks into the house and were admiring them on the floor. She screamed, which frightened the children and the skunks. The children said, "Mother, what is the matter?" She replied with a command, run outside as fast as you can." The children promptly jumped up to run. However, each one took a skunk with them as they went out the door. I thought about that. Sometimes we are trying to escape hurt. We're trying to escape hardship. We're trying to escape danger. And we end up, in all reality, taking the problem with us as we're running out the door. That is what happens to a person who becomes bitter and they don't deal with it. You cannot run away from it, for it is with you no matter where you go. Bitterness will end up consuming your life. Everything that you do, everything that you think about, every area that you go into, everything that you do in your life, bitterness will be knocking at the door if you don't deal with it. It's important for bitterness can stay with us for a lifetime, making what was once a happy life now a miserable life. The story is told of a personal ad in the newspaper years ago that said this: if Jack Smith, who left his wife and baby 20 years ago, will come back, the baby would like to knock his socks off. You can see from that advertisement how bitterness will overtake our life for years and years and years and years. We need to realize that holding on to a grudge, to bitterness, and it is displeasing to God. It's not only displeasing to God, but it's damaging to us, not only physically, emotionally, but most importantly, it's damaging to us spiritually. Again, I find it interesting that he says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." And the next verse he picks up with bitterness. He begins to talk about bitterness. I said this last Sunday night, and let me say it again quickly, and then I'll give you a few points and we'll go home. How to know if you have bitterness, if there's somebody's name that's mentioned and all of a sudden your blood pressure goes out the roof. If you're constantly trying to convince yourself that you're not bitter over a situation, then guess what? You're probably bitter over a situation. Nobody can control bitterness in your life but you. Nobody can take that away from you but God. And nobody can seek God for that help but you for yourself. I said this last week and I'll say it again. Bitterness is like somebody giving you a bottle of poison and you drinking it, expecting it to kill the individual that gave it to you. You see that person that's caused bitterness in your life, that person that's caused harm in your life and hurt in your life, they continue to live their life on an everyday basis like nothing's wrong. And here you are finding yourself day after day living in a prison of bitterness. Let's look at three things tonight. Number one, note this with me: the condemnation of bitterness. The condemnation of bitterness. Clearly, the Bible condemns bitterness since many people or many Bible passages state that we are not to hold a grudge against another person. We are told in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 30, "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord." It's the Lord that must take care of that. When we take matters into our own hands, then we're going to find ourselves in a mess. The condemnation of it. He said what in verse number 30? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So evidently, if we look in context, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, all of these things grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It is condemned by God. In other words, God sees and knows what has been done to you. And if we can trust him with our soul, then we must learn to trust him with the troubles that we face in our life. The condemnation of it. Think about this with me tonight. There's the sinful nature of bitterness. the sinful nature of it. Bitterness is a sin. Ephesians 4:31 contains a command that we are to get rid of all bitterness. Some people in some circumstances feel they are justified in holding a grudge. However, the Bible makes it clear that holding a grudge is against the will and the commandment of the Lord for a believer today. You say, well, I don't hold a grudge, but I'm never talking to him again. Okay. I don't hold a grudge, but I'm not saying that you have to be their best friend. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm not saying that you got to go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal with them. That's not what I'm saying tonight. But hear me and hear me well. There is the sinful nature of bitterness tonight. He commands us, but he says this, put away from you. He says to put bitterness away from you. There's the sinful nature of it. But think about this, the condemnation of bitterness, the sinful nature of it, but the satanic nature of it tonight. The satanic nature of bitterness. Remember that Satan is the accuser and he never allows an accusation to go unmentioned. When you are an accuser, you are in a league with the devil. Well, I'm not accusing them. I know they done it. Well, just stop a minute. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? So many times, you know what? There's a lot of people, and I want to be careful right here. There's a lot of people out of church today because somebody said that the preacher said this about them. When the preacher never said the first thing about them. So that person is living a bitter life towards the preacher off of the accusation of someone else. And now they are accusing the preacher of this, this, and this. I've always said this. If you're going to leave the church and talk about the man of God, always make sure that you talk about all the times that he came to you at midnight and all the times that he loved on you and all the times that he was there for you. But boy, they forget about that all of a sudden and they begin to accuse and bitterness sets in and it's satanic in its nature. When someone has hurt you personally and you allow a root of bitterness to grow up in your heart, you are working with the forces of darkness. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 John 2:9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He said, you know what he's saying? He said, no, you're not in the light if you don't even love your brother. If you don't even love your brother. Thing about this, I not only see the sinful nature and the satanic nature, but think about the shameful nature of bitterness, the condemnation of bitterness, the shameful nature of it. I begin to think about this. Bitterness is shameful for a Christian because it keeps us from revealing the forgiveness that we have received of Christ. It keeps us, boy, it got quiet right then. I told Brother Ramsey this morning, I was talking to him and Miss Tanya, and do pray for them. They didn't take Gum Orchard. And I told him, I said, I got mixed emotions about that. And he kind of looked at me and I said, I want you to pastor if that's what God wants you to do. But I sure like you being around here. I said, because usually whenever it gets a little bit tight, I can look over there at you and Miss Tanya and you nodding your heads at me, helping me. Got a little tight right there. Listen to this, the shameful nature of bitterness. Bitterness is shameful for a Christian because it keeps us from revealing the forgiveness. The forgiveness we have received from Christ. Think of what our sins did to our Lord. Yet he was not bitter towards us. He told us to love the way that he loves. If he can forgive us for what we done to him, then there is no excuse why we don't forgive others for what they've done to us. Well, they never asked me for forgiveness. Well, so what? They may never ask you for forgiveness. Man, it's quiet tonight. They may never ask you, Brother Josh, for forgiveness. And I'm not saying you're bitter. I mean, you. I guess you're not, but I'm just using you for an example. They may never ask you for forgiveness. Matter of fact, a lot of times people's probably not going to come up to you and say, hey, I was wrong. I was wrong. That's some of the hardest words you'll ever say. I'm sorry, and I was wrong. But whether they ever come up to you, and whether they ever apologize to you, whether they ever ask for your forgiveness, you know what we are to do as the Christian? We are to forgive them anyway, because Christ has forgiven us, and it's a shameful nature when we don't. Number one, the condemnation of bitterness. Number two, watch this. I about said number two. I went to Boonville Christian Academy. Number two, the course of bitterness. The course of it tonight. Bitterness is a result of our feeling that we've been hurt, that somehow we have not been treated fairly, and that the person or persons responsible for the hurt have not made it right with us. Can I just say this to you? Bitterness tonight has a course that it'll run in your life. I said this already, and I want to say it again. Bitterness will destroy your life. Bitterness keeps that person that once sung from singing again. Bitterness is what keeps that person that once played an instrument from playing it again. Bitterness is what keeps that preacher who once preached from preaching again, or that soul winner that once told others about Christ from doing it again. Man, bitterness has a course that it will run in our life, and if it's not dealt with, it will destroy us tonight. It'll make you miserable. It'll make you hate everybody. It'll make you think everybody's against you. I'll never forget. One Sunday evening, I never called no names because part of the people still here today. But I'll never forget one Sunday evening. Man, there was a couple just got plumb sideways. This is years ago. Just got plumb sideways. Well, I was trying to figure out why they're sideways so I could help them get straightened back up. You get sideways and somebody fix and get hurt if you don't get straightened back up. Are you with me? So I ended up over at their home, and I said, hey, look, just help me understand what's going on. Well, such and such and such and such and such and such was talking about me. And I said, well, we're not going to go off of such and such. I don't pastor Mr. Such and Such and Miss Such and Such. Somebody say amen right there. Don't bring it to the pastor unless you're going to bring names with it. Somebody say amen right there. I said, I need to know who such and such is, such and such one, such and such two, such and such. Who is that? Well, they told me. And I said, okay. I said, well, how do you know they was talking about you? I walked up in the parking lot, and they stopped talking. Well, I walk up a lot of times, and people stop talking. I don't know if that's a good thing or that's a bad thing. Matter of fact, I asked a couple the other day. I walked up to them and they just stopped talking. I said, what y'all talking about me? Well, no. Well, why'd you stop talking? Carry on your conversation. Well, we might not have wanted you to hear it. I said, oh, just carry on. It'll be all right. And you know what happened in that individual's life? Man, bitterness began to set in. Now, I went to the other individuals and I said, hey, look, if there's a problem here, we need to go see them. We need to straighten this out. Preacher, God's our witness. Our conversation was done. As they walked up, we was just stopping talking. I said, preacher, what are you saying? Bitterness will creep into our life. Are you with me? And it's got a course that it'll run in our life. The condemnation of it, it's of Satan tonight. But there is a course that bitterness will run. Let me show you something right here. Look at the poison of bitterness. The word bitterness in our text speaks of a poison. Indeed, bitterness is a poison in the emotions of a person who holds a grudge against another. Just as poison food brings pain to the stomach and physical system of the human being, so bitterness brings pain to the emotions and to the spirit of the individual. This can lead to physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and social problems on a monumental scale if not dealt with properly, biblically, and timely in your life. It's a poison tonight. Bitterness is a poison tonight. But think about this. I'm talking about this course that it runs. It's a poison. But then there's a passion. You say, what do you mean a passion? Poison builds up when a person, or passion builds up when a person allows bitterness to take root in their heart. That word passion means this: any powerful or compelling emotion of feeling, as love or hate. As love or hate. It's a passion that comes with bitterness. Let me tell you what happens. It builds up. It's an any powerful or compelling emotion or feeling of love or hate. And it begins to build up in your life and it overtakes you. How to tell when someone is passionate about their bitterness? When they won't let go of it. If you're not careful, you'll begin to love your bitterness. And the appeasement that it brings to you when you're talking about someone or the situation that brought bitterness into your life. And you'll find yourself over and over and over wallowing in your bitterness because it's your passion. It's all you think about. It's all you talk about. You wake up thinking about it. You go throughout your day thinking about it. You can't even spend time with your spouse without thinking about it. You sit down at the supper table with your children and you can't even enjoy a meal with your children. Why? Because of this passion of bitterness that's inside your life. It's overtaken you. There is the poison. There's the passion. But then watch this. There's the punishment. There's the punishment. The third phase of the course of bitterness is punishment. There's a desire in us to see the person or persons who have hurt us punished for what they have done to us. We can sit here tonight. We can put a halo on. We can act like we've never been there. But the truth of the matter is this. I'm sure, especially us as adults, there's probably been some moment in our life where we thought in the backside of our mind, it wouldn't bother me a bit if something happened to them. Brother Ramsey, you might be pastoring here before the night's out. I can't believe the preacher would think, look, I'm just like you. The only difference in me and you is that God put a call to preach on my life, okay? That's the only difference tonight. Are you hearing me? There's times in our life where this poison will set in, the course of bitterness, this poison will set in, and once it sets in, if it's not dealt with, it'll become a passion in our life. And all we'll do is we'll think about it, we'll eat it, we'll sleep it, we'll dream it, and then before long in our mind, we'll begin to think, well, it wouldn't bother me a bit if somebody called and said that my family member something had happened to them. The punishment of bitterness tonight. We want them to pay for the pain that they caused us. We may even try to cause the punishment ourselves. I began to do some research on this, and you know what I found out? I found out that bitterness has led to violence. That's led to murder. And during the interviews, when they was questioned, Brother Stan, why they done what they did, it was because of bitterness. Now, they may not have come straight out and said, I am bitter, but they said this, such and such done this to my family, and I just couldn't deal with it anymore, so I took matters into my own hands. You know what they were saying? They were saying this, I'm bitter. And I couldn't get over it. I'm bitter. These family members that hadn't talked in years because of bitterness. I'm not going to talk to them. They don't deserve to talk to me. Punishment. They don't deserve it. Let me show you something else. The course of bitterness, it will start with a poison that leads to a passion, that leads to a punishment, and then there's the publicity of it. Final phase is publicity. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? The person who is bitter begins to make known their feelings by not being silent. Criticism, hatred, all manners of evil speaking coming from this phase of bitterness. You know, it's probably tore up more families than a lot of things. Listen to me. Social media. There's a lot of things that does not belong on social media. Social media is a great tool. I'm telling you, the only reason I even have it is because our Foothills page and because our church page runs off of my page. And if I delete it, from my understanding, those pages will be gone. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things get posted on social media, and you can go back in there 15 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 3 minutes later, but it's already went out for all the world to see. It's all publicity. It's already went out for all the world to see. It is amazing the people that lives on social media, that lives on it. Every once in a while, and I've done a couple little things trying to see what people's hitting the most, because we're going to start using it more in days to come for the church with some videos and different things trying to expand to get people into the church. And you can take and throw a picture up in your story. There's been times that, Brother Tim, I put it in the story, and before it ever even made it to the next story, you know what I'm talking about. There's about a 10-second loop right there. It'll pop up that somebody, two, three, four people, has already hit that. Already looked at it. I said this by Friday morning. Been over 3,000 viewers had hit the video from Thursday night. We was at Christmas at Mom and Daddy's the other night. Lydia said, y'all do the skipping challenge. And you should have known Lydia was going to have a phone out recording it. She recorded little Zeke and then Jeremiah and Donathan and me and Jeremy and Daddy. And she put this little snappy music to it and posted it for all the world to see. We sat there and started watching people hit it. And within 15 minutes, over 1,000 people had watched that video. You said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Be careful with your bitterness spewing it out for the public. For the public. There's some things that nobody needs to know about. I don't think that there's anything in the world, if you've got a man of God that you can trust and his wife that you can trust, and I'll just say this, you do here, because we're not taking your business to everybody else. You that's talked to us in confidence knows that. There's nothing wrong with sitting down with that man of God and his wife and talking to them and asking them to help you pray about it. But boy, be careful what you're spewing out. Because the world's watching you. The world knows you're a Christian tonight. Lost people around us see a corrupt response, and it can even cause a harm to our witness and to the name of Christ because of it. Let me show you this tonight. The condemnation of bitterness, the course of bitterness, it'll destroy your life. It's 7:11. Let me give you this last point and we'll go home. The confession of bitterness. I thought you said, preacher, you were talking turning bitterness into blessings. Here it is. The confession of bitterness. The confession of bitterness. Romans chapter number 12 says this in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things. He goes on to talk about living an honest life in the sight of all men. He goes on talking about that. We're to live godly and we're to live upright. Talks about the Lord saying, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The confession of bitterness tonight. I'll show you two things here and I'm done. Can I say this? Confront it. Confront it. You've heard me say this a million times. The saying is this, you'll never get help till you admit you got a problem. You'll never get help until you admit you've got a problem. You said, preacher, how do I know if I got a problem? You know. Can I say that again? You know. You know. Confront it tonight. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Bitterness is hard. Can I say that tonight? It's hard to deal with. Because in the flesh, we want to harbor those feelings. And in the flesh, we want to hold on to it. And in the flesh, it appeases us to hold a grudge against somebody. In the flesh. The Bible said this, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when we're harboring bitterness and we're holding on to that, watch this, and we're allowing that bitterness to keep us from serving. Oh, but preacher, I'm going to church. I didn't say that. I said serving. You can go to church and not serve God. You can sit on a pew Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night and not serve God. You can read your Bible and not serve God. If God has blessed you with a way to serve Him, and He has, and you're not serving because of some situation, hey, bitterness is in your life. I just come to this conclusion. Nobody's worth me not serving God. Nobody's worth me quitting serving God. Yes, it may hurt. Yes, hardships come. But man, we've got to confront the bitterness in our life and do something about it. Number one, confront it. Number two, get cleansed from it. Get cleansed from it. What did he say, Miss Daniel? You start playing softly and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. Watch this. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What did he say in verse 31? He said it needs to be put away from you. It needs to be put away from you. Bitterness can sometimes be towards God. Ain't nobody say amen right there. Be towards God. Why? Because of something that happened in your life. Because of a sickness. God is in control of everything. God does control everything. God doesn't make mistakes. Are you with me? Though sickness comes sometimes, different things like that, and we blame God and we get bitter at God, or watch this, sometimes people will do things and we'll blame God because God didn't stop them from doing it. Can I say something to you tonight? Again, me and Brother Ramsey was talking this morning about the will of God. We can, I want you to hear me right here. Listen to everything I say right here. Don't take the first part and judge me on it. We can alter the will of God. We can alter the will of God. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. And I even used this example this morning, Brother Ramsey. I can resign the church tonight. I can, after I'm done preaching, say, effective the first Sunday in February, I'll no longer be the pastor of Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I'm not saying that. I'm using that as an illustration, okay? We're not in a business meeting. But I could. And you know what I just done? I just altered the will of God for my life because God hadn't told me to do that. And because somebody done something to you, it don't mean that God... It does not mean that it was God's will for that to happen. So quit blaming God on things that maybe He didn't have nothing to do with. Are you with me? We can get angry towards God. We can get bitter towards God. We can get bitter towards a circumstance. We can get bitter towards an individual. We can get bitter towards ourselves. We can get bitter towards you. You said, preacher, what do you mean? We know we're supposed to read our Bible. We know we're supposed to pray. We know what we're supposed to do. We know we're supposed to live right. But if we're not careful, we'll allow the devil to overpower us and keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And we'll in turn get bitter at ourselves for allowing the devil to overtake us. But the only way that you'll ever get help with it is to confront it. I want to ask you a question. There's the condemnation. It's of the devil. There's the course. It'll ruin your life. There's the confession of it. Can I ask you a question tonight? You ready? Are you bitter? Are you bitter? You already answered it. As soon as I ask it, in your mind, you answered it. In my mind, I answered it. We all battle bitterness at times. So what's a bitterness you're battling? Well, it really ain't none of your business. You say, you expect me to tell you mine and you're not going to tell me yours? It don't work that way. Are you with me? God tells me to tell you, I'll tell you. But until then, I'm just going to keep telling him. You can deal with your bitterness, or your bitterness is going to deal with you.